Y'all all remember when y'all were that age, right? All right. Whew, a lot of energy. Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me. We're continuing our sermon series in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. We're finishing chapter 13 today. Acts chapter 13. And we're going to be in verse 38, going all the way to 52. So Acts chapter 13, verse 38 through 52. Let's pray as we go before the Lord to open our eyes this morning. Oh God, we come before you this morning and we ask that you would help us, that you would give us eyes to see, you give us ears to hear, oh God. We need you. And so we pray that you would help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're able to stand with me, please stand as we read God's word this morning. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astonished or astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told to them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spread throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing, and the leading men of the city stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. This morning, as we read that, we have to ask, what was the reason for Paul's turning his attention away from the Jews to focus on the ministry of the Gentiles? This is the heart of this text right here. It's a great transition piece in Acts where it goes from Paul to the Jews first and transitioning to the Gentiles. This is a huge transition point here. But we have to ask, what caused that? Why did this happen? My main idea is to draw this out a little bit about why did this happen. And so you'll find my main idea in the bulletin: the gospel feeds the sheep and stews the goats. And so it takes a little interpretation for that. But you'll understand why I chose that. Not only turns them into a stew, in the end time, but also irritates them. Stew means to irritate or frustrate. And this is what Luke is saying or showing us in this section, this main idea. The gospel, we see in verses 38 through 42, we see that the gospel separates the sheep from the goats. And if you don't know that term, you'll see it all throughout the Bible, especially the book of Revelation. The goats are the bad guys, the sheep are the good guys. Right? So that's, we'll get more into that. So the gospel separates in the beginning, 38 through 42, the sheep from the goats. Excuse me. The gospel is nourishing to the sheep or feeds the sheep and irritates the goats. We'll see in verses 43 through 45. We'll see that. And then lastly, we'll see the gospel gives a clear distinction of who is a sheep and who is a goat. And it'll be clear for us. So this morning, verses 38, our first section here, verses 38 through 42, the gospel separates the sheep and the goats. And what are we seeing here? So we're seeing two major themes in this section. And here's the first. The first, we're seeing forgiveness of sins is through Christ. That is something you don't want to miss. Salvation or forgiveness of sins is through Christ and not the law of Moses. He is very clear about that here. And the second theme we're seeing in this section of 38 through 42 is there's a severe warning to those who do not believe the message of Christ that he has been talking about the last two sermons. Right? In our last two sermons, we went through all of Paul's. This is the end of Paul's sermon here. And so there's two other sermons if you want to catch up on what he's talking about. And it's centered on Christ here. If you don't believe this message, there's judgment. That's what he's saying. So let's look at these in detail, these two major themes. Paul is pointing out from the very tradition, from the very tradition that he was so zealously followed, that this law does not produce life. Why did Paul kill people and was such a wild man? Because he believed the law could save you. He was working for his own salvation. That's what we're seeing. He is saying this because he tried his hardest to follow the law to the T, even to the point of, as we saw earlier, putting people to death. He justified killing with the law. And this is why he says in Romans chapter 4 that the law brings what? Wrath. The law brings death. It's not a very helpful thing. It convicts us. And to those who look to the law, thinking that you can be justified by it, you will only find wrath. You will be disrupted. It will end to nothing. However, the source of life the Apostle Paul is pointing us to, the true source of life that Jesus points to himself to. He says, you look to the law to life in John chapter 5. But he's saying, life is looking at you in the face. True source of life is found in Christ. And Paul found that on the road to Damascus. He saw the light. And that's where we get that song from. No, I'm just kidding. So there are two views of the law in this passage that we see. So we see the first view of the law, that it saves us. That's the devout Jews. They believe the law saved them. And the second view that we see is the law doesn't save, but it is God's will for us to live out. Christ saves, but the law is the will of God. Paul and Barnabas are teaching the second view here of the law. And with that second view is attached a warning to the message that salvation is from Christ and not the law. Right? So if you're looking only to the law, there's a warning to you. And he warns them that the scoffers will not believe this. This has been said from the Old Testament. It was already set up. He knew pre-hand, Paul, that there were going to be scoffers. In fact, what does Jesus say? That you will be persecuted. Why? Not because of you, but because of Christ. And this warning that Paul and Barnabas gives is rooted in what God did to unbelieving Israelites with the Assyrians and with the Babylonians. What did they do? They chose not to believe. And because of that, were judged, were condemned. That's the warning that he gives here in this first section. It points back to the prophets condemning them. Have you ever believed something for many years that you later found out it was hogwash? None of you have. The Jews believed that the law and the prophets were just merely God's commands. That's what they saw. That would lead them to life, not only a good life, but to true life. They didn't understand that it was, yes, it leads to a good life for not murdering people and not lying and not stealing. You're going to be better off if you don't do that. But it's and, right? And the and is, it points to the Messiah, right? So as we look to the law, it shows us deep down in us, we can't keep it. We are sinning all the time. And as we long and as we are frustrated, we say, who can free us from this sin? And it's only Christ. It points to the Messiah. The Jews didn't understand this. They didn't want to believe this. This is why Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, he says. But he came to fulfill it perfectly for the justification of those who place their trust in him for salvation. The gospel draws a clear divide between them. A clear dividing line. The law is not the good news, he's saying. So you see how he's separating here? The law is not good news. And this brings us to our second point. The gospel not only separates the goat and the sheep with understanding this the gospel irritates those who hold to the law as their foundation. And look, the gospel feeds the sheep we see. And what did we see in the scripture here? The sheep wanted to hear more. They were attracted to this message that Christ reveals. And what did the goats do? Well, we're going to see. We see two groups here in this section. The Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles were the devout converts, we see. And the second group is what Paul calls, I'm going to label, the jealous Jews. We're going to see. And Luke uses the same term in Acts chapter 5, verse 17. When the religious leaders were what? Filled with jealousy when Peter and John were preaching. And the reason Peter and Stephen were persecuted and John was because of what? Jealousy. And the root word for jealousy here is zeal, or to be zealous. That's what we see. And the form used here can also be translated as envy, we can see. And this is an intense negative feeling towards someone who succeeds more than you do. None of us felt that, right? Their jealousy blinded them to see what? To see the truth of Scripture. They were so wrapped up in Paul and trying to say, he is going to take something away from us, so we have to protect it. In Webster's dictionary, you see jealousy is this thing you think that someone's going to take something from you, right? And envy is saying you want to be that person. That's a good way to think about it. Jesus, the religious leaders, looked at Jesus when they killed him with what Pilate saw that they were envy of. They had envy toward him. They wanted to be God, right? See where these emotions are so critical? They feared these Jews, these jealous Jews. They feared losing power more than following Christ. They had their own setup. They were comfortable. They've been doing this for years, and who's this young buck coming in here and telling us what's new, right? And notice what they began to do. They began undermining his leadership. They slandered him. Verse 45, notice. It says at the end, it says they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And this word for revile has the connotation to demean through speech, to speak in a disrespectful way that demeans, denigrates, maligns. They were envious of Paul deep down. They were jealous and were scared that he was going to take what they had away from them. And one way to spot a sheep from a goat is how they treat others walking into their pastures. Let's be careful how we live so that the gospel is not maligned. And we don't receive the chastisement of God by stepping in the way of the gospel like these Jews were doing. Jealousy is a characteristic of a goat. We're seeing that. It's jealousy and envy are the heart of many. It's really at the heart of many of God's laws that we see, the Ten Commandments. If you think about it, why was Jesus and Abel murdered? Think about that for a second. Their murderers envied them. Cain envied his brother. What are the others? Right? What do we see? What are the others that had this, their thoughts really at the core of it was they had a delight for something that wasn't theirs. And just as Eve looked upon the forbidden fruit, what does the word say? She delighted in the fruit. This is the same word for envy. Clement of Rome says, jealousy leads to death. The religious elite rejected the gospel and twisted Paul's message so that people would not believe. They were stepping in the way of the gospel. And all because of what? All because of jealousy. All because they looked at this man, they said, I don't want him taking stuff away from me. I'm intimidated by him. I don't want to listen to the message because I believe that I know better than that person there. This is at the heart of all of us. And if we are convicted, confess. The gospel irritates the goats. Why? Because it tells them to look away from self. The gospel tells us to look away from ourself, and the goats, they don't like to hear that. They want to say, hey, how can we be building ourselves up? I want to be that person. I want this. I want that. But the gospel tells us to look away from ourselves and to look on to Christ as our Redeemer. And this brings us to our last point. The gospel not only separates, The gospel not only irritates and feeds, we see it happening, feeding the sheep and irritating the goats because they don't want to look to Christ. They want to look to their own accomplishments. But also we see this. The gospel distinguishes sheep from goat. We'll see this. Verse 46 through 52, Paul and Barnabas, they didn't back down from these slanderous goats. A lot of people will hear slander of their name or people wanting to incite violence against them, and they'll be like, all right, okay, I'm going to hide. But instead, they pushed harder against them. They pointed out that they had condemned themselves. They have rejected eternal life. They brought judgment on themselves, no one else. And they did this by not believing in Christ. And this is why, and this was done not only by their words, but also we see it was done by their actions. Because they were irritated, they acted on their irritation. They thwarted the gospel. They slandered. They were jealous. They were reviling. And thus the scripture is once again fulfilled, and God will call a people to himself who wasn't his people. We're seeing a shift here. And Paul goes to the synagogues first, and now he's saying to the Gentiles, I'm going. You see the shift here? Why is it that he shift? They've rejected Christ. They sealed their fate. In fact, Luke points out that Paul quotes Isaiah 49:6 in verse 47 of this text. He says, I have made you a light for the Gentiles. That's the scripture of the Old Testament he quotes. I have made you a light to the Gentiles that you may bring what? Salvation to the ends of the earth. And what is salvation according to Paul and Barnabas? Christ. Christ alone. Their rejection is not a surprise to God. This is not a gasp like, oh, you're not receiving it. No, this is not a surprise. Scriptures are clear about who is a goat and who is a sheep. And I remember learning a Greek term in seminary. I'm a Cajun, okay? I'm just going to point that out. It doesn't sound like I'm a Cajun, but I'm a Cajun, still at heart. So it was the easiest word in the Greek dictionary for me. You want to know what that word was? The word tasso. You'll never forget it. For those that are not Cajuns this morning, it is what? Smoked pork. Okay? It's delicious. It's God's meat. But this word tasso that I, as soon as I heard it in the Greek dictionary, I knew it right away. First one to raise the hand. It means those who had been designated for eternal life became believers. The word tasso means appointed. Isn't that a great word? You'll never forget it now. God tassoed it, you could say. Now I'm taking liberty with the Greek word. But he tassoed it to happen. He appointed it. He foreknew and elected this to happen. There's no surprise here. And here is why this word tasso is so important. What God appoints, this is where we pull out of this, what God appoints, no man can thwart. No matter how much these guys slandered Paul and his mission, nothing was going to stand in the way of God's appointed plan. This is why they stood up with boldness. It's because they understood it was God in charge here, that he appointed it. That's why Luke used this word, that he appointed it. It's no surprise. Scripture already told us. The gospel was spreading like wildfire, no matter if you have those on the sidelines barking at him. And notice what happens. They kick him out of the city. And these weak men with mother complexes, they went to these women with big pockets. And these women sympathized with these slanderers. Right? You want to know what a goat looks like as well? We see the goats were like, They like to work in the shadows. They hide behind women and are not man enough to stand up for themselves. It's a good telltale sign here. But notice, Paul and Barnabas, they didn't pout. They got those women on us and those men, those doubting men and those people. They didn't pout about it. And nor did the disciples pout. Notice what they did. They rejoiced. They had great joy. They were filled with the Spirit. They stood boldly against the crowds. Boys who shouldn't stand up. There were these men, these cowards. They stood against these cowards, these boys who couldn't stand up for themselves. It was easy to do it. They were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They dusted themselves off and they moved to the next city. That's what we need in Christianity today. We need stronger people standing up for God's word. Why? Because it's all written. The whole play is written out. And if we believe, if we love Tasso, right? Okay, I'm using it too much. But if we believe God Tassoed it, appointed it, then there shouldn't be any fear. And we should rejoice as well. And we should go out and preach the gospel without fear. The gospel preaches, when the gospel is preached, it reveals who was a sheep and who was a goat. It's a judgment at that moment. And this story reminds me of a goat that I once had. Past tense. She had an acre of prime real estate, grass, beautiful grass. But the weeds on the other side of this fence, with holes just enough for her to stick her head through it, was too enticing. Those weeds were delicious. And as a result, she kept getting her head stuck in that doggone fence. I wish I could record myself in the mud saying sometimes things I wish I didn't say, trying to get this doggone goat's head out of this fence. I can't tell you how many times this happened. It irritates me just thinking about it. It didn't take long for the dogs in the neighborhood to see that they had a nice meal stretched out. They had a free meal right there. And I found her one morning and she had been eaten alive. That was a sight to see. Well, it ended my problems. That's a warning for all those who reject the gospel and play church. That's a warning. They twist the things of God for their own comfort. And when the gospel is preached, the goats, they make a fuss. And eventually they try to disrupt God's plan and people. And sometimes they succeed. They succeeded here temporarily. But really, they are placing their heads in a fence. And one day, the roaring lion, right, will devour them. And what can this text teach us today? Don't be a jealous goat. Jealous goats look to themselves for salvation. They think they have the power to save themselves. Just give me some time. I'm going to live my life here. And then I'm going to come to Jesus. Let me fill my oats and then everything is going to be all right. I'm going to live until I'm 70 years old. No problem. A sheep is a gospel believer, however. One who trusts in Christ and shows it by what? By the way they live. A sheep makes Sunday worship a priority. They worship Christ during the week. They confess sin daily and they turn from their wicked ways. And those who don't follow Christ will look to themselves for abundant life. I'm okay. I keep the law. I'm okay. I'm going to be all right. I'm a good person. Scripture doesn't show us this. Those that believe in this are in danger. They're in danger. Don't be a goat looking for the grass on the other side of the fence. Start with what is right in front of us. And what is that? What's right in front of us today? The preaching of the word. We're looking to the word, his sacraments, and his prayer that he's given us. Trusting in Christ frees you to live an abundant life under not your rule, but Christ's rule. The sheep that look to Christ are pleasing in God's sight. And he empowers them to live in joyful abundance with his law, not as a burden, but as a joy. The goats depend on their own striving to gain something that can only be received by faith through Christ, by grace in Christ alone. That's it. So just as a review, the gospel message that was proclaimed in the synagogue shows a separation. It shows a separation of those that hungered for the gospel and those who opposed it. That's what we see. And Luke gives us details showing the believer the feeding on the gospel. Those that believe, they feed on the gospel. While the unbeliever despises it and its messenger. And finally, we see a distinction. The gospel advances. Why? Because God's plan and those who reject it are those who are left in the dust awaiting the judgment day. Those who reject the gospel will be cast forever into the lake of fire. But those who feed on Christ will never taste eternal death. Remember this week as you contemplate the word spoken, as you contemplate the gospel given in our supper today, as you contemplate the gospel of our prayers and our songs, remember the gospel feeds the sheep. It strengthens us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The goats are stewed, however. The gospel feeds the sheep and stews the goats. Let's pray. Oh God, we come before you and we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory that you have called us out of darkness. You are doing that this morning as well, calling us out of darkness, looking to ourselves, and you call us through your gospel to look to you, look to Christ, because from you only one can find salvation alone in Christ alone. So we lift up this time to you as we come to your table. Help us in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.